She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited.
Good to see the big guy survive this week up north, his weekend up north. You're not, you know, you're not frozen. You're not a popsicle. You made it back down to Florida where it's nice, no, sunny, and warm. Are you still thawing out?
No, it's fine. It's just depressing. God, the sun. Can I tell you one thing? The sun just makes everything so much better. It really does.
I'd say let's put that on the poll, but like it's going to come back 100%. Like seasonal depression, I think, is a real thing.
It would be easier
if people deal
to find things that like aren't the sun aren't good for, because there's only a handful.
Yeah.
Everything else, like driving into the sun, bad.
Yeah, but
other than that, I want sun all the time.
Yeah.
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 Well, let me ask you this, though, because it's typically colder out when it's sunny, because there's no insulation, like what the clouds provide.
Yeah.
Would you rather take 10 degrees and sunny or 28 degrees and cloudy?
10 and sunny.
Joshy?
10 and sunny.
Yeah. It's just, it was fine. It was a great trip.
It's just, the sun puts a pep in your step, man. So, Chewy, you were in Ohio State. You went up to visit one of the kids up at Ohio State University.
Yeah.
And, yeah, no, you're 100% right that the sun just makes everything better. Like, part of the reason that, and again, as a morning person, the big reason why I don't like what we just went through a couple weeks ago with daylight saving time, like,
yeah.
And look, I have no idea if we're in daylight saving, if we just came out of it. I don't keep track of it. I don't want to see the talking text saying, well, actually, this is what we're in. We lost an hour of sleep a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
That's the only important thing. But,
yeah.
But we were just getting to the point where I'm leaving my house at 6 and the sun is starting to peak up, right? And then we lose that hour of sleep, and now it's back to pitch dark as I'm coming into work every morning. And again, I understand that's a selfish perspective. But like, because the sun coming up, it just makes everything better. You're 100% right. That's the point I'm trying to make.
And I wake up with the sun. So when the sun comes up at 4:45 in the summer, I get up. Right? But like you're saying, it's very difficult now to get up when it's still dark.
You haven't adjusted to... I can't sleep past like 5:30. Even if I'm out, like we were out at a friend's house till about midnight, which is way past where I usually sleep. I was still up by 5:30. Like, my body cannot do the sleep in or even sleep with... I'm up and it's dark outside still.
Why on Saturday? You can't just... You're up?
Yeah, I just... My body just says, hey, it's time to get up. I've trained myself now where sleeping in really isn't even an option.
Ah, but sleeping in for me is 7:30. That's sleeping in.
Yeah.
What is sleeping in? Some people, it's 11 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, like 7 o'clock is, yeah. So
join my house, brother.
Yeah, that's sleeping in. But there was a moment. There was a moment.
Wait,
but
you
it
just,
was
you
me.
Can't...
It's me. It's me.
What did you do?
So it's not that big a deal. So Saturday, Angie and my daughter ran a 5K.
Okay. We talked about
this. I sat in the car
and
made some calls. And
Wait. What calls do you have to make?
Well, I got my buddy back home, who was kind of my surrogate dad, who I talked to for 47 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And then who else I talked to? I talked to a few people. So I made it through, because to do a 5K takes about not even an hour.
Oh, no.
So I was fine.
No.
Caught up on my calls. So then the girls wanted to go watch some of the games.
Makes sense.
But we were running a little late. So, we showered up, got ready for dinner, because we were having an early dinner, because there was a function for the parents, because it was Parents' Weekend.
Oh, that's the reason why you went up there. Okay.
That's why we went up there. So, we go to a huge bar, college bar, a lot of action, having fun, a lot of energy, watching the games. And there's this guy kind of eyeballing me.
oh, no.
And I could see, but it wasn't really a Gatorade. So he came over. I was wearing one of my nice watches, which is a monster watch. It weighs like 4 pounds. And he's a watch guy. So he's like, hey, what kind of watch is that? He shows me his watch. He's like, who'd you play for? You obviously, you know, you have a Titans body. So then we got to talking, and he knew Mark D'Onofrio was the second round pick my year out of Penn State.
Okay.
He knew him because they were, somehow they knew him. So we got to talking. he finds, you know, the Packers and all that we're talking. So we're talking for about 45 minutes, and then he's time to go. That's it.
Wow.
So I'm like, all right, we'll see you. Nice meeting you. You know, good luck to you, whatever. So then the steakhouse that we were going to was about a quarter of a mile down the road. And this is about 6 o'clock. We're walking down, the three of us. Big glass front. So we go to check in our reservation, mm-hmm. and he comes around the corner, all changed, different clothes, wearing glasses, no. Now, different watch. He comes out. He's like, what, are you following me? Blah, 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 blah. You know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
So we go to our table, and he's right around where you check in, right? Okay. Right there with his family. We're like, ah, you guys are, you know, big. So we go two rooms over to the back bar because there was a guy singing Sinatra. It was perfect. We were right in front of the piano having a great dinner. Dinner was probably an hour and a half, and they're like, well, let's have one more drink at the bar. So I'm feeling pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So two rooms over. Remember the two.
Okay, two rooms over.
So
this is a big place. Have that many
huge
rooms, and a piano with Sinatra.
And the food was outstanding. So I grab the bill. Angie and my daughter kind of start making their way towards the door, and I'm lagging behind a little bit. Well, I forgot about the two rooms. So I go one room over, and there's a guy with his family sitting at the table. I go over. I'm like, hey, how was the meal? I yep. love your watch. And he's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Oh, no.
So I'm talking. I'm like, oh, when are you going back? And I'm sitting there going, this is the wrong table. I'm like, this is the wrong table. I'm like, you're not Ted, are you? He's like, nope, I am not Ted. I'm like, well, you guys enjoy your beer. It's really, really good. So then I go one more room over, oh, and there no. he is.
Oh,
so,
man.
Did you,
know you
tell
look
him?
You get? Pardon?
Did you tell him that you had just walked up to a complete strange family and started having a chit-chat?
I made the mistake of telling Angie, who's the town crier, and now all my friends back here knew, everybody knew.
Man, the one time you try to be folksy, the one time that you don't like Gatorade, and for those who don't know, anytime Chewy finds himself in a situation where, you know, he doesn't want to be having a conversation with someone and his wife is nearby, the code word is Gatorade in order to get him out of the conversation. So you talk to this guy, like, you actually make a connection, like, he knows somebody you used to play with, like a real genuine, like, cool moment. The one time you're actually folksy in your life. And it just blows up in your face.
Now, in my defense, the wrong guy was wearing gray, like the other guy, and he was wearing glasses, roughly the same age. But you know the look you get when you're like, I think this dude's crazy, you know? I'm like, okay, these aren't the people that I met at the previous bar.
So initially when that happens, I think most people are like, okay, how do I know this person? And they're panicked for a little bit. Because they're trying to figure out who you are, because you just came up to them all casually, and you're asking them questions like, oh, wait, how do I know this person? I got it. Yeah. And you're searching your memory bank, trying to come up with the name and trying to place the face. But but on the bright side, you gave this family a story that they're going to be telling forever.
Absolutely. And he played it off very well, and I played it off very well. You know?
I don't think this is that big of a deal.
No.
I mean, it's a hilarious
story. Well, it's not that big of a deal because it's me.
Yeah.
Now, if this was you, that would be out of character. For me, this is kind of normal.
Well, but so didn't you know, did you look for the guy's watch? Because it seems like with him being a watch guy, and you noticed that he had changed his watch when you ran into him when you came into the restaurant.
Yes.
Did you see, I mean, because I guess that would be, if this guy is that big of a watch guy, that's the first thing I would notice about someone.
No, first thing I noticed, glasses and wearing gray.
Didn't look to see if he was wearing the watch.
No.
Yeah. That might have been the mistake. Although, I'm guessing, because you were at a bar previous, you were watching games, having a good time at dinner, there may have been an adult beverage or two that were consumed.
There was, but I don't really... Do you look at people? I really don't. I don't know what I look at.
All right, I was about to say, please define, what do you mean by do you look at people?
I mean, a guy like that that just comes over to me, I don't look in his eyes.
I mean, so you're telling me you had a 45-minute conversation with someone and at no point you looked them in the eyes?
I could probably do a lineup right now, Gabe, a 10-person lineup, and I couldn't pick them out.
Well, I mean, that's obvious after you, you know, stopped at the previous table on your way out.
Yeah.
But you not once you looked this guy in the eyes?
No, I think that's uncomfortable.
I've had many, many encounters with people, especially after adult beverages, where I'll walk into a bar and be greeted by somebody and be like, I got no idea what this, who this guy, I vaguely remember, but I couldn't place them. And then they often end up telling me like, oh yeah, we sat and talked at X, Y, and Z for like 20 minutes. I was like, I mean, I remember that, but I wouldn't have known it was you. I've had a situation where I was meeting a friend at his house. He was on his way back. It was late at night. I shouldn't say late at night. It was like 10, so it was dark.
Yeah.
And he told me he was pulling up soon. I had taken an Uber there, and there was a car pulling up, and it was his car. Well, looked to be his car. It was the exact same make and model, and I was giving the person the finger, only for them to not be. And he pulled up there shortly thereafter, it's and tough. The person kind of slowed down and looked at me, and then we made eye contact, and I like put up my hands like, oh, sorry, whoops, not.
Gabe, I've been in rooms with guys that I played with in 96 in the Super Bowl, and I have no idea who they are. No idea who they are. If you showed me the team picture of that team, there's probably 6, 7, 8 guys. I couldn't tell you who the hell they are.
In fairness, though, I have seen, like, when I went to, when Tausch had his, like, going to the Packers Hall of Fame party thing up at the Trio, like, I saw Ryan Grant, and I could not reckon, because Ryan Grant is, like, down under 200 pounds. Like, the dude lost a ton of football players, I feel, after, especially after you got used to seeing him in the locker room for how many ever years you played with them, and you're used to seeing a certain body type or a certain face. Like, football players, they can go one of two ways. It doesn't seem like you're the rare one who kind of still looks very similar, like, because you're still working out. Either guys can, you know, kind of balloon up, or they drop a ton of weight. And you're like, I don't even know. So I can see how that would happen. If it's not, is like, somebody you're tight with.
Is there a way you could pull up the team picture from 96, and I'll try to name all the guys in it?
It would be difficult for us to do because there's so many people on there. I could put it on stream, but I don't know how I would be able to get it so we could, like, figure out who we're even talking about.
Because
everyone's going to be wearing the same clothes.
Like, but guys in the front row, you can make out the numbers, so that's like cheating, you know? He's got 4 is Brett, 9 is Jim.
Why? Do you have the picture?
No, I mean, I could find it very easily. This Packers 1996 team photo. Yeah, it's right here. Yeah, we could easily.
We could do this, Joshy.
Yeah, everybody's number is visible. Would the numbers help or hurt?
I'm like 49. No idea. I think he might have been a tight end too. which is really bad, right?
I would also.
All right,
have to
let's
find,
try to do this.
All right, we'll
after
see,
the break,
we'll see if we can organize this. It's either going to be really good or really bad, but we're going to see how many of Chewy's teammates he can name by looking at the team photo. So if you check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/@ESPNMilwaukee, check us out there. See the live stream as Chewy tries to name his teammates. We will also, again, we'll try to, you know, we'll make it entertaining for the radio audience as well as Chewy tries to name his teammates. Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chewy claims he does not look at people when he talks to them. Does not look them in the eyes. and got himself in, I mean, I wouldn't even say it's a little bit of trouble, just it's slightly embarrassing that he ran into, met somebody new while he was in Columbus, Ohio this weekend, then confused that person for another person later in the evening as he was exiting. So he was curious about how many players he can name in the Packers 1996 team photo. So we're going to take a look at that right now. We've got it up if you want to follow along on YouTube. And we'll see how many Chewy can get right. I think the bottom row is going to be relatively easy. What do you think is going to be a passing grade?
Well, you tell me.
What do you
think? Should I be? Should I know everyone on the team?
I don't think you should know everyone. Because guys get shuttled in and out. Like, there could be guys that were just happened to be there for the team picture, played two games, and they were gone, you know? So I would say, I mean, you got to know most of the offensive guys, right? Like the other tight ends in the room.
I mean, you should.
So. Right?
You should.
So what, do 35? Is that too many, Josh?
Seems about right. I think you should be at around 90%.
Oh, 90? I mean, 35 is well under 90.
I know.
I might be able to do this. All right, you ready?
All right.
Number four is obvious.
Yep.
McMahon.
Yep.
Jackie.
Yep.
Jaime.
Yep.
Doug.
Yep.
Craig Newsome.
Correct. This is going to be the tough one.
Hold on. Now, 22 and 28, I think, to me, they have the same name. Oh, you know who 22 is?
Who's 22?
I know 22 because I ran into him, I don't know, a couple years ago. Is that Bucky Brooks?
That's Bucky Brooks. 22 is Bucky Brooks. You are Bucky perfect Brooks. So far.
He writes, right? Or he's on a show or something?
Yeah, he does stuff for like NFL Network, NFL.com. Yeah.
I thought he was a receiver, though.
He was a running back.
I thought he was a receiver.
He was a defensive back.
Really?
Yes, he was a defensive back. Played two games for you guys.
You got Doris the Horse.
Is number 25, yep.
Is that Roderick Mullins?
Number 28 is Roderick. Okay, hold on. So I've got a Ross. Yes, 28 is Roderick Mullen. That is correct.
Okay. William?
Yep.
Jervy?
So you aced the bottom row.
Yes.
The first row, you absolutely knocked out of the park.
Okay, let's go row two. Should I name the coaches?
No, you don't have to name the coaches. Nobody cares. Outside of like Holmgren and, you know, probably Andy.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right. Second row, Doug Evans?
Correct.
No idea. I mean,
are you serious?
Idea.
Are you serious?
No.
You don't know who 34 is?
Is that Edgar?
It's Edgar Bennett, man.
Oh, it didn't look like Edgar.
Come on.
It didn't. Leroy.
All right.
Williams.
Tyrone Williams, yes.
Prior commitments.
Mike Prior commitments is 39, correct.
Eugene.
It's 41, that is correct.
42.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Played 9 games for you guys that year.
What position?
He was a defensive back.
No idea. Zero idea.
Corey Dowden.
Still not.
Which, again, like, he's a backup safety. He's a special teams guy.
Okay.
Like, if he was an offensive player, I think, I mean, the fact that that's the first one you got wrong.
Yeah.
I think we're doing pretty good here.
49?
Yeah, this gets sketchy pretty quick.
What position?
He was a running back. Played one game.
No idea.
Kevin Smith.
Never heard of him. I mean, I know Kevin Smith's, but not that one. Mental Mike Arthur.
His number 50. All right, we're back to rolling here.
B-Dub.
Brian Williams, yes.
Corker.
That's also known as Frank Winters. All right, so there on the second row, what, we got two wrong? We got three wrong.
Three wrong? I thought I got two.
I thought it was only, I think it's only two. But we're cruising.
Okay.
We're absolutely cruising, and we're in the mid-50s. Who do you got starting with number 53? Third one.
Get out of here, Koontz.
Yep.
Ron Cox.
Nailed it.
Cracknardo.
Bernardo Harris.
Lamont Hollenquist.
He nailed it.
Wayne.
Yep.
Marco.
Correct.
Timbleman.
Correct.
What's up, dog?
That's Bruce Wilkerson.
Crapper.
Lindsey Knapp.
is in Gary Brown.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it.
All right, I'm feeling better.
Yeah, I was about to say. Now. Come on, we're doing good. I mean, but again, looking at the old picture, I think, is going to help. There is a chance that if you guys have some sort of reunion next year for, like, the you know, the 30th anniversary of this team, there might be guys you don't recognize because their bodies change over time.
True.
All right, we've only got two rows left. You've only gotten two wrong.
This is better than I thought, actually. All right, fourth row.
Yep.
Dot.
Santana Dotson.
Earl
Dotson.
ATBT.
Aaron Taylor.
Rutt.
75 was Ken Rutgers.
John Michaels.
Yep.
Who's 80? That can't be Roll Preston because he came after Desmond.
And I believe Roll also are 88. Do you need a hint?
Yes.
I believe he was a rookie that year. Out of Notre Dame.
Oh, that's Sugar Bear. I've caught everything.
I've heard you call him something else. That was very related to
D-Maze. D-Amazing.
Derek Mays, yes.
Yeah, there
I feel
go.
Like, do we give him credit there? We kind of dragged it out of him.
He knew it.
All right. By the way, I did have a Derek Mays jersey once upon a time.
That's embarrassing. What the hell was wrong with me?
There's not. I had like a bunch of action. Like my mom still has my starting lineup that I had of you, the little action figure.
Okay.
It is on display in their new household.
All right, fair. Dez.
Correct.
Biebs.
Yep.
JT.
You should fly through these. Jeff Thomason. Yes.
Mick.
Correct.
Free.
Yep.
All right. Top row.
Top row. So right now, still only two wrong. And I believe they played like a combined 10 games. So the two you got wrong.
Okay. Danka.
Robert Brooks. That's Robert Brooks.
Is that what? Is that? Oh, K-Jack.
Yeah. Keith is right next to you.
Me.
I think we'll give you. You is like the free space in bingo.
Yeah. Holland. What was his first name?
Darius.
Darius Holland. Yeah. 91. His name is like Chevelle or something.
Shannon Clavel.
Yeah.
I'll give him credit.
Defensive lineman who played 8 games. Yeah, it's close enough.
Reggie.
Yep.
Gilbert.
Yep.
Bullet Bob Kaberski.
He played 1 game and he had a nickname. That's awesome.
Yeah. Keith McKenzie.
Nailed it.
Salad.
Sean Jones.
And Gabe.
Wilkins.
Yes.
You
I only
nailed
got two
it.
Wrong.
You only got two wrong.
That's
it's
not bad.
Absolutely fantastic. We did have a question from Dumpy on the Cardless Talk at Text Lane 800-990-3776. Is Gruden in this pick? No, Gruden had left before the Super Bowl.
All right, so coaches: Andy Reid, Tom Lovato, Marty.
Yeah, this Larry I can't Brooks, necessarily fact check.
But. Gil Haskell.
Yeah.
Sherm.
Yeah.
Homie. Fred
was is
Larry
okay
Brown.
So Holmgren is certainly taller than all of the coaches. Was he standing on something here?
No.
Was he just that much bigger than everyone?
Johnny Holland, who's in the photo, Johnny Holland is about 6'3", and looking at this photo, Holmgren would probably be 6'8", so maybe he is. But in every picture, Gabe, every picture, guys tried to do something different that is a little bit odd. Do you notice what it is in this one?
I believe this is this the one where the quarterbacks were holding hands in the front row?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Jackie, Brett, McMahon. Yeah. The holding of hands.
DJ in the Saw said, Gabe, use the 1996 Packers Super Bowl 31 team photo, similar to the formal photo, but instead, Aaron Taylor has his shirt up, his belly
it's
is
hilarious.
Hanging over Frank's head.
Yes.
Frank doesn't look too amused. Chewy is looking in the other direction. Any idea what that was about? Are there any memories of this photo shoot that Chew can share on air from DJ in the Saw?
Aaron Taylor is the funniest one. You gotta look at it. You have a picture of it?
So I don't know if I can open it here. Okay, yeah, we've got it. I'm looking. Oh yeah,
it's hilarious.
He's just got his shirt. His jersey is up over with his gut hanging out. Your mouth is just wide open. Like, what am I supposed to do? It's fantastic.
I believe that was on Tuesday. And Monday night was a long Monday night.
Just leave it at that.
That photo was probably at
like first
9
thing.
O'clock in the morning.
First thing in the morning.
Yeah.
All right. We've had a little bit of fun with our big guy Chew here. Unfortunately, it was not fun for our basketball teams over the weekend. Wisconsin, Marquette, both out of the NCAA tournament. And There was a narrative out there, really, for both teams, and it's probably just like the fringe of the fan bases. But I'm kind of sick of something, and I need to get it off my chest, Chew. All right, I just need to get it off my chest. We're gonna do that coming up next after I tell you about our friends at the Ewald Automotive Group, because you can get more with the all new Kia K4 at Ewald Kia of Oconomowoc, just $188 a month. For the Kia K4. More legroom, more miles per gallon than a Sentra. It's the new 2025 Kia K4s with a whole lot more. $188 a month for buy. Get it with Ewald's exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty. No, I did not stutter. It's 20 years, 200,000-mile warranty with our friends at Ewald. So just visit Ewald Kia of Oconomowoc. The deal does expire at month's end. With Ewald, it's easy. You just always start at the website, ewaldauto.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Kinda like a... Oof, like, instead of a,
Yeah. But that's all part of
you
taking the training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it. What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
I just need to let this go because it's something that's just kind of on the fringe. But it's something that bothered me over the weekend because, I mean, both no matter who you root for, whether it's Marquette, whether it's Wisconsin, both had disappointing ends to their season. Wisconsin falling in a round of 32, Marquette falling in the opening round this past weekend. But the reaction from both fan bases, at least online... And again, I don't want to take everything off of social media, but I understand being upset, and I understand, you know, being heartbroken that your team season had come to an end. But how have we not gotten past the point of calling for Shaka Smart's and Greg Gard's heads? Like, for Greg Gard, I understand he hasn't been to a Sweet 16 since 2017. Long time. Long time not to get back to a Sweet 16. But I think this year should give you more encouragement than anything else. The fact that he completely remade that program and they looked radically different than anything we have seen probably since the back-to-back Final Four teams, which was loaded with a couple of guys who went in the first round of the NBA draft and some more guys who played, you know, professionally, internationally. Like, that team was loaded with talent and they could play a different style of basketball than we're used to seeing Wisconsin play. I mean, you had a guy in John Tanjay who scored 37 points in that game. Like, this was a different brand of Wisconsin basketball. And on the Marquette side, yes, I understand it's frustrating. Like, Marquette was a top 10 team at one point earlier this year. They end up outside the top 25, and they flame out in the first round. That's upsetting. But also, they've gone to the tournament each of the last 4 years. Like, they're clearly building something. Like, Shaka's got this program going in the right direction. Under Steve Wojciechowski, they did not win a tournament game for 7 years. And now they've got 3 in the last 4. I understand being frustrated, Chew, but can we just stop being like, okay, time for accountability? Like, everybody wants to use the word accountability. Nobody actually understands or knows what that word means.
No. You know, and that was a tough loss because they did not play well. They didn't shoot well. New Mexico shot good enough to win, so that was disappointing. But when it comes to Wisconsin, man, BYU's a good team.
They're one of the hottest teams coming in.
They're kind
of
hot right now, you know? They just didn't play their best basketball. They didn't make the shots when they needed to. I thought it was a good game.
Yeah.
You know, I watched that game. So, no, that they're both fine, but they just, like I was saying about Goody. they need to use all the tools they have in order to build the team.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, NIL now is huge. The transfer portal. You know, you have to use all of those things, I believe, in order to make yourself, in a season, one of the elites. Would you agree?
Yeah, but
I mean, there's only so much money, Gabe, right?
Yes. Marquette
is not going to compete with North Carolina and Duke, you know, when it comes to NIL money. Teams like that, right?
I mean, maybe not Duke, but I think they can. I don't know how much Marquette spent in NIL this year. But
yeah.
The fact that they don't have a football team that they have to worry about, too. Like, Marquette, before the NIL era, before all of that started, like, Marquette spent the second most on their basketball program outside of Duke. Because they don't have a football team. Like, the basketball yeah. team is the thing.
Is it?
So they've
yes.
got resources. I don't think Marquette's crying poor. But at the same time, like, that is the one thing I heard. I heard criticisms from friends. I saw the criticism online. Well, yeah, this is what happens when you don't use the transfer portal. Well, when you don't lose anybody going out, it's tough to bring somebody in. There's only X amount yeah. of roster spots. Mm-hmm. And if nobody leaves your program, like, I don't want my head coach of the favorite team that I root for just kicking kids off the team so he can bring in a transfer. Which is
you
what
don't.
Marquette would have had to do in order to bring a transfer. Because they didn't
you
lose
don't.
Anyone, so you can't bring anybody in.
Well, what they do in football, Gabe, I'm going to tell you, is they talk these kids into DQing.
Yes.
Right? So they can get the scholarship.
Correct.
So what the DQ is they medical a coach pulls a player in. And it's essentially, they sit there and tell them, look, you're not going to play. At our program,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes very rarely does a kid fight it because they know. And the head coach will say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to medical DQ you. You have your scholarship for 4 years. We will pay everything. But and the reason they do that is because as soon as that kid accepts
mm-hmm.
the medical DQ, opens up another
scholarship.
Scholarship.
And that's sketchy as hell, and I hate it. Sketchy as hell.
Yeah, but Gabe, it kind of goes hand in hand of how far you want to go
but if
in
you're,
college football or how
sure.
far you want to go in the tournament.
But like, if Shaka is sitting there preaching culture, and if he does something like that, like, that is in direct contradiction
absolutely.
Of what he's trying to sell.
Absolutely.
So I don't want that. Like, if they, look, I don't think, because a narrative has happened around Marquette and Shaka, oh, he doesn't want to use the transfer portal. No, he'll use it if he has to. He brought in four
yeah.
transfers his first year, and then he built something where, you know, previous to this year, they were two seed a couple of years ago. They were two seed last year. They recruit well, and they
well,
like their guys.
You.
If somebody leaves, he'll use the transfer portal to bring somebody in. I have no doubt about that. It just has
yeah.
to fit what he wants to do in the program.
Well, let me ask you this. How did St. John's do it?
They used the transfer portal. And look, it's pretty
much. But that's another instance, Gabe, where there's no football at St. John's.
Correct.
So basketball.
You know, and I think it was similar. Look, especially, you know, the way that, you know, Rick Pitino came in here.
St. John's has one guy who's willing to give them hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, they also have that.
Michael Rapoli.
But also, what happened to St. John's is kind of exactly what I thought would happen to St. John's.
Yeah.
An incredibly
mm-hmm.
physical basketball team that doesn't shoot the ball very well, and then they ran into a bad whistle, and they were they played a largely, while entertaining and competitive, well, some might find entertaining and competitive, I found it largely unwatchable because of the 45 fouls that were called throughout the course of that game, because both the teams were just beating the hell out of each
yeah,
other when they lost to Arkansas.
Game.
Yeah, and that's
yeah.
the way St. John's plays, right? They ran
yeah.
into an unfriendly whistle. And mm-hmm. they got called for a lot of the stuff that they didn't get called for during the regular season, couldn't adjust, and at the end of the day, couldn't score enough points. But But
let me ask you this, Gabe. How far were these teams supposed to go? Objectively.
I think for Marquette, everybody knew.
How far were they going?
Everybody knew Michigan State was going to be a tough matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Like, and that was what was waiting for them. And for Wisconsin, being a 3 seed.
Sweet 16.
You're hoping for the Sweet 16.
So
there.
Both teams fell short by one game.
By one round,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that horrible?
I don't think it is. And I understand the frustration, especially if you're a Wisconsin fan. You want to get back to the Sweet 16, a place you haven't been since Bronson Koenig hit that shot back in 2017. And for Marquette, you want to kind of try to build off that success. But consistently making the tournament is not a spot you were in previously,
right.
And now you find yourself in. I think you have to trust the leadership that they have in these spots.
I would agree.
And
I would
just
agree.
again, I'm not telling you not to be frustrated. I'm not telling you not to be disappointed, because it was disappointing. Like, I had all the confidence in the world in Marquette. I thought the seniors would not let them lose. And unfortunately, Cam Jones had one of his worst games in a couple of weeks and just did not play well. And I felt crushed for him seeing the way he reacted after that game on the court. But like, I think you have to trust the guys that are in charge of these programs that are putting them in pretty good spots.
I mean, this isn't like the Packers, a handful of years ago where they lose to San Francisco in the first round.
Yeah, they've got a high powered offense and they score a touchdown. Yeah.
I think one game short is it's disappointing, but it's not the end of the world. Because the bar isn't set like it is for the Green Bay Packers, right?
Well, again, you bring up that 2021 team, Chew. Like, the previous year, you're in the NFC Championship game. You kind of choke that one away. You're the number one seed again. You've got a high-powered offense. Aaron Rodgers is preaching you want to be home, 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 and then you score 13 points at home.
Yeah.
I think a lot of, especially when you look at the Badgers, a lot of the fire guard stuff is, obviously you point to the 14 and 15 success, which is hard to look past, but that's also like not what they were doing prior to that. They were successful and they were winning, getting to the Sweet 16, but also a lot of it, I feel like, is people Johnny come latelys. We watch when the tournament starts, and you didn't get as far as we wanted, because Greg Gard reinvented a total program. If you listen to him talk, he has embraced the NIL transfer portal era as good as any coach who in like all of college sports. He says, this is our reality. Rather than try and fight it, I'm going to do my best to build a team here at Wisconsin that is something that can win and have success. They are different. And he has to keep doing well and recruiting well and nabbing guys from the portal. But, I mean, Chucky Hepburn, a really important player to their team, moved on, and he said, good for Chucky. I hope he does well, and we will have to live without him. Like, they looked at those guys and said, I'm not going to hold it against you because XY school is offering you so much more money. I can't offer you that, but what I am going to do is wish you luck and move on and try and replace you with guys you can. I mean, John Blackwell, John Tanjay, those guys, the Badgers are like bottom of the Big Ten without those two. Mm-hmm. And those aren't guys they had any plans about 2 years ago.
Well, and they bring them in, and to me, this is the sign of a good coach. And I think this is what Bill Belichick, if we want to bring it back to football, what Bill Belichick did, and Chewy, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but what made Bill Belichick such a great coach was he wasn't a, hey, this is my system, this is what we run, this is how we're doing it. And then if he ends up with players that can't really run the system, he's screwed. Yeah. Like, he would always kind of tweak things and adjust things to the roster that he had, which is what Greg Gard did this year. Yeah. It's not like they were running out there going, hey, let's run the swing. No, they went out there, they were running up and down the floor. Did they play as much defense as Greg Gard would have liked to have played? I can guarantee you the answer to that question is no, because that dude wants to play defense. But he had a roster of, all right, we're going to outscore people, let's outscore people.
Yeah.
So is it as simple as, let me ask you, is it as simple as if both these teams went one game farther, people were still going to complain? Is it unreal expectations? Because it's like the Brewers. The Brewers do not have the same expectations as the Packers.
Correct.
The Packers measure themselves by Super Bowls, right?
Correct.
The Brewers, even though disappointing, especially last year, because they had such a great record, is that the same of what we're dealing with here? We came one game short.
Yeah.
Realistically, if you make the Sweet 16, we're good with that.
It feels like if Wisconsin would have made the Sweet 16, that would have really gotten a lot of people very happy. Because, again, they haven't been there since 17. For Marquette, I think even if they would have won this game then lost to Michigan State last night, there would still be some disappointment because they were a top 10 team earlier this year. Because they were playing fantastic, and then they just fell off. And they didn't play as well late in the season. They weren't making as many shots. They were still creating. They just couldn't knock down the open shots that they got. So I think Marquette fans would probably be a little bit disappointed coming off of a Sweet 16 year a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you just have to, ultimately what I'm saying is just trust the people in charge. They know what they're doing. They're going to get you to the places you want to get to. Yes.
I understand wanting more, but the teams who are constantly rifling through head coaches and coaching staffs and like reinventing the leadership, those are usually the ones that aren't doing well. And they are constantly caught in a period of churn where they're trying to replace and catch something. Like, do we think that who's out there that's going to improve either Marquette or the Badgers in a real way where you're going, yep, this is Sweet 16 every single year?
Ryan hits us up on the talk and text line. Carblue's talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Gabe, if McIntosh fired Crist because he felt the football team hit a ceiling with Crist, isn't there a ceiling with guard in the basketball team?
Crist wasn't fired because of the ceiling. It was the floor. The floor was way lower than they anticipated.
Which turns out that floor could give it a little bit lower.
Right.
As we have now found out.
True.
Right.
So, I mean, again, I think that I understand being frustrated not getting into a Sweet 16 if you're a Badger fan. But I also don't know how you don't feel encouraged by the way the team transferred itself and transformed itself throughout the course of the regular season.
Well, let me ask you guys this, though. What do you think about Calipari, who leaves Kentucky and then goes to Arkansas, and then they're in the Sweet 16?
See, so here's the funny part to that, Chu, because with college basketball, it's just so... because so many people don't necessarily pay attention during the regular season and only pay attention. Like, Arkansas underachieved because they were, like, inside the top 15, and then they had a five-game losing streak. Like, they underperformed probably 75% of their season. And now that all goes away because they won two games.
Yes.
Which is
absolutely crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And also, when it comes to both Shaka and guard, I don't think either Gabe or myself or Chewy are saying we have no expectations of them making the Sweet 16 and going deep, making a run. But, like, you can't just take one event and be like, yep, it hasn't happened, so I'm ready to move on now. Like, we're building something here. You have to see it out. If Greg Gard doesn't get to a Sweet 16 in the next 4 years, we'll probably join you and be like, yeah, it makes sense. You can't achieve it. But, like, give them the opportunity. Well, the landscape of the sport has taken a complete 180, like, as we know it.
Yeah, and your head's on a swivel. You're trying to figure all this out. Wisconsin didn't make the tournament not that long ago.
Right.
Missed out on the tournament. And that was on guard's watch. And I understand being, hey, that seat's hot now. Because they had such a long streak. Much like when we talk about Badger football, Luke Fickell's seat is hot now because they were bad. And guard turned it around. Like, guard had the hot seat and has now turned it around to the point where I think you go, hey, let's see what this guy can do again.
But I brought this up with Goody last week. When Ed Policy's taking over, you got 3 years to win us a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with what you just said, Joshy. Greg Gard, okay. You got 3 years to get to what? The Elite Eight?
Sweet 16.
Is that fair?
I mean, if they go back-to-back Sweet 16s, I think that's going to appease most people.
Right, because there is an aspect of, you got to understand, it's still Wisconsin basketball. You're not Duke. You're not UNC. You're not Kentucky. Well,
think about Michigan State and all the success that Tom Izzo has had at Michigan State.
Right.
He won a championship in 2000.
In 2000. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was in middle school.
Right.
Yeah.
I hadn't even been hired by this company yet. And I'd been here forever. Like, that's...
Came out of the womb working here.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if Michigan State won and Tom Izzo has one national championship to the resume, like, I don't think the expectation for guard or even Shaka is national championship.
Right, because there's not... Cooper Flags, those guys make differences.
Yeah.
And it's very obvious watching him and Con Knipple, and you're like... Well, this seems to be a different brand.
Yeah, it is.
They've got something going on here that I don't think really anyone else can recreate in modern college basketball.
So, yeah, I think it's, again, be sad that the team, that the season was over and maybe underachieved a little bit, but I think you still have to trust both the guys in charge of the two major basketball programs in the state. Maybe somebody else needs to be in charge of a minor league baseball team. We'll explain why coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How do you get to 10 in NFL in the football game? How do you do that?
You can have 5 safeties.
That's a great point.
Which would also be a great endorsement for Derek Carr.
2 field goals, 2 safeties.
2 field goals, 2
also
safeties.
Also a great endorsement for the quarterback. Continue. Yes. What else do we have?
On 94.5 ESPN.
We do have some questions that I'll get you on the Carblue's Talk and Text line here briefly. But there has been a trend, too, in minor league baseball this year, and maybe even dating back to last year, where to sell more merch and to have, you know, some fun at the ballpark, teams will change their name for a day. Right? We've seen this up for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, the Class A affiliate for the Brewers, where, you know, I think I've seen different, like, German-type Lederhosen mm-hmm. uniforms, and they change the name at the end of the day.
The
Everybody
Milkmen
has fun.
Do it.
The Milkmen do it, here, yes. Yep. Yeah, so everybody does this. So the Orioles AA affiliate, the Chesapeake Bay Sox, announced that for a game this upcoming season, they are going to be the Chesapeake Oyster Catchers.
Okay, makes sense.
Sure, makes sense, you know, with where you're located and all that. The issue is the logo that they decided to incorporate with this that caught, just set the internet on fire. So it is a baseball glove with an oyster, and then instead of a pearl, I mean, you can kind of see some seams on it.
Yeah.
But the problem is, with the way everything is positioned on the logo,
it's very uncomfortable, to say the least.
It looks like an anatomy lesson.
It becomes kind of explicit and pretty graphic pretty fast.
Yeah, I made the decision not to put that logo up
nope.
because the Chesapeake Bay Sox have removed the logo. And will not be using it at all. So now they just have, I believe it's like a pelican of sorts.
Yes, that is because the pelican is the oyster catcher.
Yes.
How about this? How about go with the full oyster instead of
yep.
shucked oyster?
Yep. A lot of ways right? to do
could,
it.
Could have been an easy way to do that.
Lot of ways to do it. And this stuff happens sort of often where a logo or something comes out and everyone goes, well, what are we doing here?
Well, we saw that with some of the hats in Major League Baseball
yes.
that came out. That
words we can't say on the air that they were spelling.
Correct. Correct.
Now, did the merch get out?
No.
Or no?
So you could pre-order it, and they turned it into something
yes.
positive because the tweet that they then sent out was, some saw an oyster. Others saw something unexpected. We see an opportunity to turn viral laughs into a positive impact. In celebration of Women's History Month, 10% of Oyster Catchers merch sales will support I Am Survivor, which is a cervical cancer charity. So they decided to turn it into a thing, but also decided that they couldn't actually put that logo on merchandise yeah. and sell it to people.
Yeah. The logo was so graphic that I think if you elected to wear it to work, you would have a meeting with HR.
You would have to have a conversation. Yes. Uh-huh. Like if Ashton, because Ashton loves, you know, Ashton Rotman,
yes.
our executive producer,
yeah,
loves his minor league baseball hats.
Yeah.
If he showed up wearing that, I mean, there's a good chance he's...
Yeah, you're making coworkers uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's like a 3-day suspension. There's just no questions asked. You walk in wearing that, and you're suspended for 3 days.
I mean, companies, Baltic, they love committees, right?
Oh, yes.
How many people are on this committee saying, oh, yeah, this looks great?
I imagine
and no one raised an objection? I mean, what?
I imagine it's not that involved, seeing as it's a minor league team. It's probably a team of just a handful of people.
Being around some minor league teams and Northwoods League teams,
yes.
it's pretty bare bones.
Now imagine being the person in the meeting who has the thought but now is afraid of it because maybe your boss is saying how much they love it immediately, and you're there going, I see something else, but how do I say in a professional work environment, that looks like female genitalia?
You know
just,
what?
They're just like
you
that.
Know what?
You say it exactly like you just said it, Joshy.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Maybe they were all virgins. Who knows? Right? I mean, it's
I guess
certainly
it's possible.
Possible.
I guess it's possible.
Right? And I think from that standpoint, yeah, you got to give him a pass.
All right.
I don't think that's the case.
I doubt that's the case. But you're right, Drew. Anything's possible. And if that is the case, I will give
the
Chesapeake Bay Sox a pass.
Okay. Fair enough.
I will give them a pass if that ends up actually being the case. Although I don't think anybody's going to do the investigative journalism required to answer your question. Don't think that's going to be happening. We do have a question. Today is 1 month. We are 1 month away from the draft being in our state up in Green Bay. What position do we think the Packers are going to be focusing in on night one of the draft? We dive into that in 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.